Evening, everyone. I'd like to thank the elders for the opportunity this evening to present to you what I've prepared, and to thank the congregation for the love that you extend my family, my wife and I. Thank y'all so much. The lesson I've have this evening is titled The Design Argument and Our Designer. You know, God has given all of us free will to choose. Some people will choose not to believe in the existence of God. Some people will choose not to decide in the existence. Basically, what I'm trying to say is they'll ride the fence. All these people have made a choice one way or another. And many will make their choice without having all the facts. We that have chosen to acknowledge the existence of God, well, we have a responsibility. We have an obligation. We have a command from God to share the gospel with the world. Someone loved us enough to share the gospel with us. They loved us enough to arm us with the facts so that way we could make a right decision. In the book of Matthew, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Today, as in the first century, it means meeting people and starting a conversation in whatever state they're in. We must take advantage of every opportunity to teach, to reason, to offer the knowledge of God's truth, to help them realize it, to put away the gods of this world, to put away self, for them to make a right choice. In the book of Isaiah, our brother read Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God has revealed himself to man in special revelation. He communicates to all of us by his inspired word, the Bible. But what if the person we are reasoning with does not believe in the existence of God? If they do not believe in the existence of God, how will they believe God's word? Another way that God has revealed himself is by natural revelation, through the natural world, his creation. In Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 1, Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. When we stop and look around and we observe the intricate beauty, the complexity of this world, it's hard not to be awestruck and to marvel at its design. When God set Job straight in Job chapters 38 and 42, God used arguments from the natural world to prove his sovereignty, his absolute power, his absolute knowledge. God spoke to Job out of the whirlwind. He said, who is this that darkens my advice without knowledge? God tells Job to prepare, dress for action like a man. God will question him, and Job will make it known to God. God says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me." God continues with arguments from the natural world. Before I go any further, I guess I should define the word argument in this setting, because I'm not referring to the emotional exchange between people. Instead, I'm using the definition of argument that means a reason that aims to persuade. It's the older original meaning of the Latin root argumentum. It's proof or evidence. Tonight, we'll be talking about the design argument. This is typically stating that design demands a designer. If something has evidence of design, it must have a designer. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, Isaiah 45, verse 18, God's word says, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other." See, God formed it. He is the designer. And it wasn't done in vain, and it wasn't done without purpose. The earth was designed to be inhabited. God's existence is made clear by the design of our universe. The basic idea of this argument is that if we pay close attention to the details of the universe that we live in, we will be able to see that it was created by an intelligent designer. Let us start with the placement of the planet Earth in our solar system. The Earth's orbit. It's not too close to the sun that we would burn up. It's not too far away that we would freeze. We're placed in the universe in our orbit around our sun just right. Sometimes scientists call this the Goldilocks zone. Where else do we see design? Well, we see design in our atmospheric layers. The atmospheric layers, like our ozone layer, that protect us from harmful radiation. We see design in Earth's magnetic field, where it provides protection from high-energy particles streaming out of the sun, kind of like, well, the solar winds, continuous solar winds or large coronal mass eruptions. Particles, energy particles, get so highly charged that our magnetic field deflects them. See the design? Design demands a designer, and we recognize design through the complex detail and structure we find in our world. As we read in Isaiah, God formed our world to be lived in. We see design in the precise balance of the process to sustain life on Earth. We have natural cycles. We have the water cycle. It's Earth's continuous process of recycling water that's driven by the sun, which moves water between the oceans, the sky, and the land. We have evaporation, where liquid turns into gas, and then condensation, where gas then cools and forms clouds. We then have precipitation. Water falls as rain and snow. See the design? The oxygen and carbon dioxide cycle is a continuous biological process where plants produce oxygen and consume carbon dioxide through photosynthesis, while animals and humans consume oxygen and release carbon dioxide through respiration. See the design? Speaking of plants, think about how many plants grow in the direction of light. Take, for example, the sunflower. The sunflowers that, you know, we get your sunflower seeds, talking about those big old sunflowers. So Those young sunflower plants, them heads, will face east, and then they will, as the sun is tracking east to west, it'll track the sun, and they'll move all the way to the west to maximize growth. And then when night falls, that head will move back east and get ready for the morning and do it all over again. As this plant matures, it stops tracking, and it just faces east. This way, it catches the first sunlight, it warms up, and it catches the pollinators to help it along. It's interesting. This process is called heliotropism. It is the Greek word helio, sun, tropism, to turn. See the design? I don't think the plants had knowledge of light. It's the way they were designed. We read in God's word in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Let's go with that house building part as for our argument. See, there's the existence of all these raw materials on the job site, all this lumber. And that doesn't make a house. You know, it'd be very funny if the contractor walked up to the house owner and with all this lumber and hands them the house keys and says, here's your home. You know, this architect, the home builder, has to utilize these raw materials, the lumber, the screws, the nails, the windows, and build it to the specs of the plan. And then you have a house. See, someone had to design the house, and someone had to build the house. My wife, I was talking to her about this. She gave me an example. She gave me the to make a cake argument. See, you have all the raw materials to make a cake. Just because you have all those raw materials sitting in your kitchen counter, on top of your kitchen counter, doesn't make it a cake. All those raw materials, you're going to have to, you know, put it together, right? They're not just going to explode with a big bang and there you have a cake. What you're going to have is a big mess. That's what you're going to have. The baker must, like I say, utilize these raw materials according to the recipe. Then you have a cake. There is a category, I guess, of design that I find very fascinating. It is biomimicry. Biomimicry is the practice of solving human problems by imitating nature's design. Biomimicry is, in the Greek, bio or bios is life. And mimicry is mimesis. It's imitate. So it means imitating life to solve challenges. For example, I'm sure all of y'all have heard of Velcro, okay? Velcro is the best example I can think of biomimicry. It was created back in 1940 by George M. Astralis. He was a Swiss electrical engineer, and he was inspired one hunting trip back in 1941, where he's out hunting with his dog, and these burrs kept getting all over his gear and on the fur of the dog. And I call them, there's different type of burrs, but here, y'all may be familiar with cockle burrs. I know I am. You get them horse's tail, cow's tail, you name it. But anyway, he took a closer inspection of these burrs, and he noticed that they had small hook-like projections and that allowed them to catch on various surfaces. Well, thus the classic hook and loop construction of Velcro was born. One last example I'd like to give you of biomimicry is bullet trains. Bullet trains, great marvel of the day. They go almost like 200 miles an hour. But the thing about them is, though, they go so fast when they're traveling in and out of tunnels where they were having this problem, was that it has this, it's pushing pressure waves in front of the train. It kind of built up as they're going in and out of tunnels. And as it was coming out of a tunnel, you'd have a big old boom as it came out. Scientists were trying to figure out how to minimize or get rid of this noise without messing with the speed. Well, it comes to here comes in biomimicry. God's design found in the kingfisher bird. The kingfisher bird is a bird that hunts by diving into the water, right, after its prey. The sudden change of environment from less dense atmosphere to more dense, the water, gave the engineers the idea that maybe they could mimic the kingfisher's bill and head shape. After the train was redesigned, they found that not only was the sound had been decreased, but the train could travel 10% faster and use 15% less energy. Our God is great, you know. There's numerous evidences we find in the natural world that reveal our God as the designer. We can express to those that do not acknowledge God that if the natural world is the product of a creator, then observing the product can reveal insight into the creator himself. Now, please hear this. Nature cannot replace scripture. There's no gospel in the stars, and there's no trail of salvation out in the woods. While nature can reveal that our creator, though, is intelligent, he's all-knowing, but it cannot reveal the mind of the creator. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. In the book of Genesis 1:27, chapter 1, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. These verses describe a particular design and purpose for creation. I'll share this in a little bit of time. It's interesting. Isaac Newton, a scientist. Isaac Newton lived from 1642 to 1727, and he used the thumbprint as evidence of the existence of God. Because each one of us have a unique thumbprint. He argued that this pointed to a designer rather than random chance. Newton said, and quote, in the absence of any proof, the thumb alone would convince me of God's existence. Let's take a moment and just reflect on, or take a moment when you're outside or looking at the stars, or and just take in the complexity that we talked about in nature, the unmistakable evidence of our Creator. It was carefully planned, and it all has a purpose. The design argument suggests that this order did not happen by chance, but was orchestrated, as I said, by an intelligent Creator, our God. You look at the magnificent mountains, the oceans, the waves, and just imagine the power of God. You can look at, like I said earlier, the intricate systems, how everything works together, the all-knowing God that we have. And then we have all these variety of colors, you know, and sounds and shapes in nature, and we see how creative our God is. Then we see predictable patterns. We see the laws of physics. We see changes in seasons that demonstrates the love our God has for order and consistency. Because the universe and the earth and all in it exist is proof enough that our God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving creator. God has given us all free will to choose. Let the evidence of his handiwork strengthen our faith, strengthen our trust in God. Psalm 86:10, God's word says, "For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God." To those that have not obeyed the gospel, we have a merciful, loving God who has provided for your salvation and for the salvation for all men. The love he has for us was displayed to all of us when he sent his Son into the world to be the perfect Lamb of God, to pay the price for redemption. Through his blood, we find redemption. We find the blessedness of having our sins forgiven and being in fellowship with God all of our days in this life and eternity. But those blessings only come to those who obey the message of God, the gospel. You must hear the gospel. Romans 10:17. Must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Hebrews 11:6. Must repent of our sins. Acts 17:30. And confession of that faith. Romans 10:10. And be baptized. Acts 2:38. After that, live our lives faithful until the end. Revelation 2:10. To our brethren who have obeyed the gospel, as we know, Satan continues to seek and draw us away from our Lord. He encourages to re-enter back into the world. But, you know, we know it's not hopeless. God has provided. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If anyone needs the prayers of the congregation, please come forward at this time while we sing the song that has been selected.